We're talking about evangelism this morning. We talked about what happens if we fail and the dangers with that. But now we want to look on the other side. If we do have evangelism and if it's effective evangelism, what are some of the risks and dangers and problems that are associated with that? And sometimes people think, oh, well, if we were just growing, everything would be perfect then. Some of the biggest problems that the church had in the first century were because they were growing so fast. And we've got to deal with some of those things if we begin to grow. If we have people in the congregation coming in, being baptized, and becoming members of the church, we're going to have some problems. We're going to look at a few of those this evening. I don't think we're going to get to the benefits. We'll have to do the benefits another time, which won't be next week because I won't be here next week, so maybe 2 weeks. But we'll have to look at the benefits another time. But we'll look at some of the problems. There certainly are some risks of a sort, some problems that are going to come up. For one thing, of course, if we had, for example, let's say that we've had a goal at times of having 10 baptisms in a year. Of course, we know we're not in control of how many people actually obey. All we can be in control of is that we're out teaching and trying to bring them to Christ. But let's imagine for a minute that a congregation of 40 or 50 had 10 baptisms one year. That would mean if it was a congregation of 40 and they had 10 baptisms, well, then they're a congregation of 50, but 20% of their members would be bathed in Christ. Now, what if they had another 10 baptisms the next year? Well, then you've got 20 out of 60, a full third of their congregation would still be pretty much babes in Christ, would be people who had been Christians for less than 2 years. Well, you think about that in the first century church. On the day of Pentecost, you had 3,000 that obeyed the gospel that day. Now, if you look back at the beginning of Acts, of the book of Acts, you'll find that there were only 120 disciples at the end of Christ's ministry. So after 3 years of him teaching and preaching and all of the miracles and so forth, he had 120 folks. And then the first day, they had 3,000, 30 times as many babes as they had mature Christians. Is it any wonder that the apostles needed miraculous gifts to help them through that time? But we don't have those miraculous gifts, but we also don't have 3,000 becoming members on one day. But that caused a lot of problems. When you have a lot of babes, then you've got a lot of trouble. Go check with those folks that have had quadruplets or quintuplets or whatever, you know, that have... I can't even begin to imagine. Twins is kind of frightening to me. The kids wanted twins this time. We're afraid they're going to be disappointed. But that's okay with me. Twins were a little frightening to me. Two babies at the same time. But imagine four or five in a family. Oh! But imagine in the church when we're busy with evangelism and we have studies going on, and if everybody in the congregation is having studies going on, and if even 1 in 10 of those brings some fruit, and we want, you could have a lot of new babes. We've had times like that. The last couple of years, we haven't had very many baptisms, not many conversions in the last 3 or 4 years. It's slowed down. But we have had times where we were having 7 or 8 a year. And there are problems associated with that when you have a lot of babes. Because these novices are going to be limited in their knowledge, they're going to be weak in a lot of areas. They're certainly going to be a long way from maturity and perfection. And those who are spiritually mature and strong in the faith are going to have to spend a lot of time nurturing those new babes in Christ. If you remember having a baby in the house, It's a lot of work. You can't just sit back and relax and be comfortable when you've got a baby in the house. I know it's been a while for a lot of you since you had a baby in the house. But it's a lot of extra work. The baby can't do anything on its own. Needs 24-hour attention, day in and day out. And so a lot of us have become very complacent and very comfortable in our Christian life. And sometimes there are some people who actually don't want the church to grow because they don't want the extra responsibility of having to help raise a bunch of babies. They're happy with the way they are. And I've seen times where someone will actually, I hate to judge their motives, but it seems like at times that they intentionally said or did things to those new converts to drive them away. And that's a sad situation that someone would feel that way. But we have many times become very comfortable with what we're how things are, our schedule, and what we do, and what we have, and so forth. And those babes are going to require a lot of special attention to deal with their spiritual problems. Of course, if we have a lot of new converts, then we're going to run the risk of having some folks in our midst who are going to be struggling with some very serious moral and personal issues. A lot of problems are going to be involved there. Because the folks that have their lives all together are not the ones who generally realize their need to come to Christ. The ones that usually realize they need Christ are the ones who have problems in their lives. And so a lot of times the fact that they have those problems that drew them to look for something better. So we've got to realize there are going to be some struggles. There are going to be people who are struggling with all kinds of sinful things that they have been doing all their lives, and they're trying to come out of that, and they're going to be struggling with that. They're not just switches where we can just turn something off. There'll be people who've had addictions. There'll be people who were alcoholics, people who were involved in immoral sexual relationships, all kinds of things that people have been engaged in. And when they become a Christian, those things don't just disappear. They've got to struggle through those things. And unfortunately, sometimes that may cause some problems for the church. Because those outside will look at that and they'll look at the weak and the new babes in Christ, and they'll judge the church based on those weak and those new babes who haven't gotten out of the world enough yet, who are still struggling. And they'll judge the whole church by that. But that's the danger that we face. Of course, also, along those lines, similarly, when we have a lot of new babes, we're going to also be confronted with having people in the church who are somewhat confused in their thinking about doctrine. You know, it's not reasonable. Everything that they need to know about everything in the church before they obey the gospel. It's just not reasonable to think that they're going to know everything. They're still going to be confused about a number of things that they're still learning, some doctrinal things even. Oh, they may have the basics, yeah, but there's a lot more involved than the basics. And they may even know what the teaching is, but they may not know why or how to apply it or different things like that. And they may say things and do things that are going to cause some problems because of the fact that they're not fully understanding. And that's not certainly not just with brand new babes in Christ. There are some folks who've been members of the church for 20 years and haven't grown, and we still have those problems with those folks. Now, that shouldn't be the case, but it sometimes is. But we expect that. And it is to be expected if there are new babes in Christ. We also, of course, will find ourselves spending a lot of time on these spiritual babes who become very easily discouraged. Do you remember? Think back. It may be hard for some. Do you remember when you were a newborn babe in Christ and you were so excited because you had found the truth and you had become a Christian? And so you went out and you told a friend, neighbor, relative all about it. And they weren't nearly as excited as you were, to say the least. In fact, they probably weren't interested at all, and they were probably rather negative about it. May have said some things about how, well, you know, this, that, or the other about that church or about you or any number of things. And that could discourage you pretty quickly when you're a new babe in Christ. When you're excited about something and then you run up on people who are going to put you down because of it, or they're going to say things that discourage you, well, then what do you do? Well, a lot of new babes in Christ quit. When we read the story of the parable of the sower, Jesus tells that parable, and he talks about those who received the word with joy and it sprang up, but then as soon as the heat of the sun came out, well, they withered away and they died because they just couldn't handle it. So we're going to have a lot of people offended by things that even members of the church may say, that somebody may say something in a Bible class that gets them upset. And so we're going to have to deal a lot of time trying to explain those things to those individuals, to help them understand those things better, to help encourage them so they don't get discouraged, so they don't quit. Unfortunately, in the church for years and years, the philosophy has been that once we've got them baptized in the water and got them out of the water, that was the end of it. They were okay then. And so, you know, okay, now you come to church, you sit on the pew, and we're all right. And then we just expect everything to proceed easily from there. But it doesn't work that way. And we've got to understand that. There are some problems. Another big risk that is faced is the risk of criticism from those that are not engaged in evangelism, either sometimes from members within the congregation, criticizing those who are out doing the studying and converting people to Christ, teaching others about Christ. Some people may criticize them. I've even heard somebody said something to me about the fact that I'm out there having those studies. Well, that's kind of backwards. I don't want to be criticizing somebody who's out there doing what God wants them to do. That ought to be an encouragement to us to want to do the same thing and get out there and do what God wants us to do as well. But sometimes, when a church begins to grow, one of the first things you often hear is, well, they must be compromising the truth. If they were preaching the truth, they wouldn't be able to grow. Or you may, well, I wonder what they're doing over there. There's something fishy about that. Because often people have this negative idea. They're very cynical. You know, if you're growing, something's got to be wrong. Because, you know, if you're preaching the truth, people just don't want to hear the truth. And if you're up there preaching the truth and you're teaching the truth, then people aren't going to come to church with you. They don't want to. Well, that kind of attitude is probably what drives people away, much more than the truth. Now, is it true that some people don't want to hear the truth? You bet. That's always been the case. Jesus said there are only going to be a few that find the gate that leads to heaven, the road that leads to heaven. There's only going to be a few. So that shouldn't surprise us. But they are out there. And they can be found. And having a cynical, ugly attitude about it is certainly not going to bring them in. But the real root of that problem, of course, is a lot of times envy. These people wish that their church was growing. Unfortunately, they're doing all the wrong things to get it to grow. Instead of speaking the truth in love and teaching and being loving toward one another and encouraging each other and encouraging the new babes in Christ that they might have, they're negative and critical and backbiting, and they destroy every bit of work that is done in their congregation. Unfortunately, though, that seems to be the common case in most congregations. The average congregation in the Church of Christ is not growing. In fact, the average congregation is declining year after year. They're not even holding their own. They're not even keeping their own children. We were talking about earlier that the statistic when I was growing up was that one out of every two children who grew up going to church was going to leave. One out of every two was going to leave. That was when I was growing up. In the 70s and 80s, that was the trend. And of course, at that time, they were saying, hey, if we don't reverse these trends, then, you know, by 2010 or if so, you know, there may not even be a church, was kind of the idea that was growing. Well, and in some places, that has become the fact because they continued that kind of trend. But we've got to do a better job of keeping our own, but just keeping our own is not good enough. But the risk, another risk that we want to look at is the fact that we run the risk of outgrowing our facilities. We've been there already. You remember when we used to have our fellowship hall right over here? At some point, we got to where we wouldn't all fit over there when we had to have someplace bigger. We needed more room. Well, classroom space. Some of our classrooms, you know, they're not real big and spacious. If we start to grow and get some young families who have some young children, it wouldn't take but about two or three families of six, two parents with four kids. It wouldn't take but about two or three families like that to fill up our classrooms. And they'd be overflowing. Well, see, some people see that as a problem. Well, it is an obstacle that has to be overcome, no doubt. But it's not a problem. That's a blessing. I was saying that every problem is just an opportunity in work clothes. And we have to realize that. So we see these risks. And we've got to realize that all of those risks are things that are well worth the result. Will some people make fun of us? Yes. Will some people say we're some sort of cult? Yes. Will there be some people in our congregation who won't like it? It's a very real possibility. Will we have a lot of babes in Christ who aren't fully grounded doctrinally, or even are struggling morally? Is that a problem? Oh, sure, it's a problem. But that's where growth comes in. One of the reasons that we have elders, aside from the fact, obviously, that the Bible teaches it and commands it, but one of the things that spurred the movement toward that, from my personal standpoint, was, you know, when I first moved here, there weren't a lot of us men in the congregation, and we'd have a men's meeting, and there might be five or six of us sitting there at the men's meeting, and we had, you know, three or four older faithful men, and a couple of us were younger. And then as we began to grow and we began to have people converted from the denominational churches in the area, and they came in, I looked up at one of our men's meetings, and I realized that there were more of these new babes in Christ, these young, immature Christians, sitting around that table than there were of the mature Christians. And I realized, you know, if something came up, and it came to, oh, well, you know, we're going to make a decision about this, that, or the other. There were enough immature Christians that they could have made the decision and overruled those that had the spiritual maturity. And said, you know, that's not a very good situation to be in. And so Alex and I talked about trying to encourage Philip and Dick at that time to become elders, so that we would have the leadership, so that those men would be the ones making the decision instead of this whole group of which some weren't mature enough to make good spiritual-minded decisions. That's one of the reasons for those qualifications for elders. It's because you want good, mature, spiritual men making decisions for that congregation. You don't want a bunch of babes in Christ making the decisions. You notice in the church in Jerusalem, when the church began there and there were 3,000 new babes in Christ, the apostles didn't say, okay, well now we're going to go off and teach somewhere else. Y'all start making the decision. No, the apostles stayed right there and they made the decisions. And when a problem came before them, they said, okay, here's what you do. We're going to get some men that are more mature men. We're going to put them over this problem. And they're going to take care of it, unless you have the 7 who were chosen in Acts chapter 6. But there are a lot of times like that where there are complications that come from growth. But they can be good complications. They can be things that are beneficial to the church in the long run, even though they're a struggle at the present time. And again, we liken the church to a family. All of us, when we had, as our families grew and we had a new child added, it complicated the family situation. There was this new personality to have to deal with. But see, the problem is that a lot of times some have become very comfortable with the status quo. Growth changes things. As we grow, and I do expect that we will grow as we go out and teach the Word of God, as we live as we should, as we teach as we should, and worship as we should, God will bless the work. And as we grow, there will be new personalities. There will be new babes who need extra attention. There may be criticism, and there may be some problems, there may be some complaints, but we have to deal with those things. Because they're part of the family now. And I don't know about you, but once someone becomes a part of my family, they stay a part of my family. Not gonna kick them out of the family. And so we have to take them with their warts and all, and we have to work with them. Now, if they choose at some point to fall away and leave, we can't stop them from doing that. And some do. In fact, over the years, going back again for 30 years or so, which is as far back as the church records here go, some 200 people have been baptized here. And obviously, they're not all still here. Some were young people who've grown up and moved away. Some were older people who have passed on. Some moved away for one reason or another or whatever. But some were just people who, for one reason or another, didn't stay faithful. Sometimes they didn't stay faithful because they chose not to. That's their choice. Jesus won't make them. We can't make them. Unfortunately, sometimes some of those individuals were new babes in Christ and they died because they were neglected by those who should have been spiritually mature and helping to care for them. We need to make sure that doesn't happen again. We won't be able to, you know, some, they may become rebellious teenagers and run away. And we, yes, that may be. But we're not going to let a babe in Christ die because we neglected them. We need to make that decision. We need to determine that we're going to do everything that we can do to help them grow to help make them a part of our family and to encourage them and to face whatever problems that they bring, face those problems together. Not try to make them face those problems by themselves. They're nowhere near prepared to handle those problems by themselves. Some of those folks are bringing some problems with them that mature Christians who've been Christians for 30 or 40 years couldn't handle on their own. They would need help with. And yet we get these babes in Christ, sometimes we expect them to be able to handle those things on their own. Well, there are some of the risks. Of course, you see that most all of those risks, with the exception of the criticism from others, most all of those risks come from the very fact that evangelism brings new babes in Christ. That's where most of the risk occurs, is that they're going to be young, they're going to be immature, they're not going to know a lot of the things that they should know. They're going to do things and say things and wear things and any number of other things that they shouldn't do. And that's okay. That's part of their growth process. With little children, when they make mistakes, we teach them. We help them do better the next time. Same thing with babes in Christ. Instead of jumping all over them, well, you're not, what's wrong with you? You're a Christian now. You can't act that way. Well, they're still a child. They're still immature. And it's going to be a while before they get beyond acting that way sometimes. The ones who shouldn't be acting that way sometimes are those of us who are mature Christians. But those are some of the risks. We'll look at the benefits another time. If you're here tonight and perhaps you've been a hindrance to the church growing rather than being an encouragement of it. Even if you yourself may not be having a Bible study with someone, there's still a lot of things you can do. We talked in class this morning, Chris mentioned about just giving somebody a tract about a particular thing that you've discussed. We talked about, Alex, just inviting somebody to church. There are so many things that we can do that even encouraging someone else who has a Bible study, offering to give somebody a ride to a Bible study, offering to watch someone's children while they go to a Bible study. There's so many things that we can do to help support evangelism rather than discouraging evangelism. And of course, the one that's often mentioned, and we don't want to leave it out, is just live right. I know you've heard Alex say that more than once. You live right. Even if you're not out there teaching somebody with the Bible, you can at least be the kind of example of a Christian that people aren't going to go, well, what about them? I don't want to be like them. So we want to encourage everyone to, in some way or another, be involved in supporting and encouraging evangelism. Of course, we're not only worried about evangelism here in our congregation, but we support missionary works as well. But, first and foremost, we've got to do evangelism here. If we don't do our own evangelism here in our community to support evangelistic works anywhere else, I can tell you this. Every dollar that missionaries receive, they receive from faithful Christians or faithful congregations that are in existence. They don't get their money from churches that died 20 years ago because they never evangelized. It just doesn't work that way. Got to be able to support the work in our area before we can have the funds and the ability to support others. But we can do that. We can work on growing and going and doing and being a better congregation, a bigger congregation. I like a small congregation where I know everybody's name and they know my name, and we, you know, we can talk about things. We know that's fine, but we can still be a small congregation and be twice as big as we are. We've got a long way to go before we have to worry about not being a small congregation anymore. I enjoy being a part of that, but not so much that we want to discourage growth to maintain that. Well, if you're here tonight and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we want to give you that opportunity to do so. If you're not a Christian, you can become one by believing in Jesus as the Son of God, by repenting of your sins, confessing Him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and being buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. If you are a Christian, but perhaps you have been discouraging growth rather than encouraging growth, you too may need to respond to the invitation as we stand and as we sing.